yeah. Welcome to another episode of the Alski Show right here at All The Right. Big shout out to my brother George. Shout out to Rezabides, Jav BX New York. Give him a follow. He's got some dope shit on his page. Big shout out to Big Z Rock, my brother Zeus. Big Dem, Robots Who Kill. JR, Dio, Clark, Vamp, Cost, Pool, JN, Miss 409, Mackle, and the boys up in Maine. Big shout out to Phil Artiste, the brothers Eli, SEFC, and Ezak, Danny Diablo. Make sure you check out www.tmrgwear.com for your dope t-shirt. I got mine. Get yours. Support your small businesses. That's right. That's what we're here for. Big shout out to Street Art Expo. Getting ready to get to go down May 22nd at the Elks Lodge on Queens Boulevard. $10 admission fee. All ages welcome. Kids, grandparents, and all that good shit. Big shout out to the brother Sloan as well. Plasma Slug. Big shout out to Ova, NFG Gang, Onski, Keps, and the rest of the crew, Truck Killin' Posse. Big shout out to Cone, ZA1. Big shout out to all you listeners out there. Without the listeners, we ain't nothing. Getting another episode, getting ready to get on the way, right here. Remember, people, Queens get the money. I want to bring on a Corona native. Good people. He goes by the name of Brand. Big Brand, what's up, brother?
What's going down today over here at All The Right?
The Alski Show. What else?
What's up? Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it.
You are quite welcome, and thank you for accepting. Thank you for coming through. As you know, we talk nothing but graffiti here, so that's pretty much the way it goes. When'd you start writing, brother?
I go back to probably 79 when I started practicing graffiti.
What was your was Brand your first tag, or
actually,
what was your first tag?
Rockster.
Rockster?
R-O-C-K-S-T-E-R, but it was too long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I kind of...
That's like Raster. Shout out Raster. Right. So another Queens brother.
I tried that for a while, and it was...
Just too long?
Yeah, it was too long. I wound up with NEL3, held that for probably another 5 years. Then in about 1984, I started developing my letter style. And I ran into Rank and EK. They came from Astoria. They moved to Corona. And I started...
Rank and EK moved to Corona?
Yeah, they lived in Corona for a minute.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I didn't know that. That's TRK crew.
Yeah, they live right by PS19, actually.
Okay.
I ran into them, and I met this other guy that used to roll with them, I think Kaser.
Mm-hmm.
This Oriental guy. And at that time, you know, we were bullshitting with the names, and I would practice Rank, and I said, wait a minute, there's something going on with the RAN, you know, the R-A-N. I said, let me put a B there, and then I switched my name to Brand, and people thought I was nuts. They said, you know, you're already known as NEL3. I said, nah, this is a name that's going to get me to where I want to go, you know. That was my vision to, you know,
okay,
get
so
into
you,
the piece.
You came up a Brand.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it went.
All right. So what's the, what was like... The influence that you know holds you up that,
well, at
puts
that
you
time,
in the game.
It was you know, the 7 Line was dying out. They were just starting to paint the trains white about 82.
The white elephant. They were fucking ugly, not for nothing.
But basically, before that, I was able to see Flame, Fuzz,
mm-hmm.
you know, Pro and Sun. I seen Kane pieces.
I used to
go uptown, and I used to run into the Part.
Mm-hmm.
And the knock pieces, you know, the lead pieces. I was like, wow, this is something going on. I saw my first black book probably I say in the sixth grade, about 1979. That's when I realized, that's when I made the connection. Wait, this is something really strong going on with the graffiti. It's just
what,
not.
What school did you go to? Because I believe you and I go way back, but didn't.
The schools in Corona that I went to?
Yeah.
I went to Our Lady of Sorrows, actually.
Okay.
First through eighth grade. And then I wound up in, when I got to Flushing High School, at that time, that's when I met Angel Duster, Cool AD.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
Right. And then he was a big influence because his style was like extraordinary. Mm-hmm. He was all around, he was involved in all parts of hip hop culture at that time. So just knowing him and his movement and his the way he carried himself at the time was like, wow, this guy, you know, he's gonna go somewhere.
You know? Okay.
And we you know, basically a lot of writers morphed off out of him. I'm pretty sure people don't know that.
Don't realize it anyway.
Right.
I mean, Angel Duster was definitely a staple in Queens, and you know, like me, you know, I grew up. I saw him running. I met him. You know, TSK crew. That was the
absolutely
shit.
Absolutely, TSK, you know? Bunch, Chiba Clan.
And yeah, you know, I knew Soap and Little Soap and Say. Used to hang with them. Beretta, Sun, the other Sun, S U N.
Yeah.
There were so many writers that came out of Corona, Queens. You know, a lot of people don't know, or they think they know, but a lot of people out of Queens, you know, were big influences to a lot of the Queens writers. You know, you had quite an explosion with that seven line, you know, as far as the seven train, the rooftops.
Right.
Yeah, all of that shit. And, you know, yeah, you gotta give credit to Crush Proof, you know, Spen and his crew.
Absolutely.
I don't know. The seven line was pretty much smashed, you know, and you had great rivalry wars up on the powerhouses, you know, MQ and
the MQ Ghost story there.
Ghost,
that has
right,
a
absolutely.
Lot of, history there.
I mean, I think that's something that'll always be noted and spoken about, you know, from many, many writers.
Right.
That's something I'll never forget, you know.
Right. So, yeah, so I'm going to take it back a step, but I mean, you mentioned TSK. I used to hang out by the library on 104th Street, so
mm-hmm.
Spank and this other kid named BR.
Okay, see, Spank and BR?
Yeah.
They were the two original OTC members when I came out with OTC. That's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
So we used to go motion tagging on the
mm-hmm.
sevens.
Yep.
Like during rush hour,
mm-hmm.
we would go towards Manhattan while the pack trains were on the other side. So we would motion tag. And the other day I saw a BR tag that somebody posted. I was like, oh shit, I was right next to him when he put that up. I was bugging out.
And
it
you
was
actually,
on the door panel.
Did you actually see BR or?
No, I saw the tag.
Okay.
I said, oh, that was on one of our bombing campaigns. You know, we would just do
motion tags
up.
Do you keep in touch with them? You know what's up with them?
I haven't seen them since
the 80s.
I remember know Spank's father worked at Elmer's Hospital.
And hmm.
Then he retired. And after that, I saw Spank early 90s. He was walking around Corona. He just came back from vacation.
Vacation?
Yeah. And that was the last I saw him.
Wow. That's funny. That's funny you mentioned those two because not too many people know the history because 1980, IS-61, that's when I came out with OTC, which...
What year was that exactly?
1980.
1980.
Out to Crash. That's, you know, that's the website... that's the original OTC call letters. And
right.
Like I said, BR and Spank.
I think it was Edo, EDO.
Yes,
they had,
not Edo from the Bronx,
no,
but Edo
ones.
From Corona.
They had a spin-off crew of TSK because those guys were older. And it was NSP, Nonstop Partners.
Oh, shit, that's right. That's right. Yep, NSP. I remember it like yesterday.
Yeah.
You had Rascal and all these other guys, too, from Corona.
There's so many names.
Damn,
yeah.
Yeah, you just made me like trip on my own voice to, you know. But yeah, no, that's history, man. That's history. 1980, we were in 61. And yeah, actually, if you remember, we used to walk around, we used to have bandanas sticking out of our back pocket, and we had our tag ironed on, you know, in them velvety type letters with the OTC on it. That's funny. Holy shit.
The white sweatshirts with the letters coming down the side.
Yeah.
Little star with your name.
Then the BVDs, you know, the La Tigra era, the Adidas fucking shell tops. And
I mean, you go. I remember there was a Spy versus Spy piece on by Flushing Meadow Park. I don't know if you remember
Spy,
that.
Spy, I remember Spy.
You remember that
all
piece?
All along 104th Street. Yes, I do remember that piece, but he had pretty much all the Long Island Railroad walls as well. And there was another writer, too. I don't know if you remember. He used to write Cry.
Cry, yes.
C-R-Y.
I met and his sister once.
He had a dope fucking style.
Yeah, there was a few writers that just
came out.
It was,
and
it
was
street bombing at that time. Very
right, right.
People didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Permanent spots. But, you know, they did their thing. Another guy like that was EO2.
Yeah, Rocky.
Which is,
Rocky was in my class.
Yeah, Cello. That's Cello's uncle, actually.
Yes, I actually learned that later on in life. Right. Yeah, Rocky EO2. Sorry, I shouldn't EO2, have said his name, but
Paz, P-A-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the TSK crew.
Yep. EO2 had nice fucking. I think his E still
rocks.
Rocks.
Yeah, absolutely.
To this day.
That, you know, that's.
You know, it's. I remember going up Junction Boulevard, and he had pretty much all the fucking pillars under the 7 train smashed back then. And, yeah, he was good people. He was a bit quiet in school.
Right.
But he did his thing.
You know what's funny? We were hanging out one day on 37th Ave, and I told this guy, yo, we got to go to Manhattan. I'm going to show you this handball court. It's going to blow your mind.
Well, you brought him to the Howard the Duck?
It was actually the Lee, one of the Lee.
Hmm.
Handball courts on the Lower East Side. And when we got there, we see EO2 with Cello, you know.
Yeah.
We were hanging out there, so I was kind of bugged out. You know,
Cello's got some nice fucking style. He did he did his thing. Definitely good people.
Yeah. The Angel Dust influence there. Like most people don't know, when AD lived, he lived right off on 104th Street, and there was a little kid named, well, a youngster, not a little kid, but he used to write Flesh. He later became SOD, and he had access to Angel Duster. So he had hands-on training in, you know, in the letter style. He never bombed. This kid never bombed. But
you know what? I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to be, I think he's an actor right now somewhere.
Because there was later on in the 90s SOD, and I know it wasn't him because I remember seeing those SODs in Black Books.
So,
yeah, I remember that.
That was the cue there. So, you know, SOD, Flesh, turned to Sod, and, you know, he had the in on AD, and then I think Cello used to come to SOD's house, and then that's how he got in the game. And then he started building his, that's where he started his game,
mm-hmm.
more or less, when he met Sod. And then they might be related, actually.
Well, that's a possibility. Definitely a possibility. So you did a tribute to Angel Duster.
That took so long to do. Not in the amount of time that day, but it took so long to plan.
Right, right.
And originally, it was supposed to be a Knack Kool AD piece. We were gonna do an AD piece that he did on the 7 train on the Y trains.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the person that was doing the Knack, they couldn't make it because they just had an infant born. So we wound up doing the Angel Duster.
Mm-hmm.
I did the outline, and then between Bomb 5, Sloan, and we filled in the piece, and then Reza did the portrait, which came out
mm-hmm.
spectacular.
Reza's a girl.
Yeah.
A woman.
And Rebecca was there.
Angel Duster's sister.
Yeah, she was mm-hmm. there, and she was she stood out through the whole event. And it was so cold that night. We didn't even realize how cold it was, but, you know. That was an event. That was very meaningful to me. Cello came down, Big Nell, Shest, they all came down for that day, and it was a good event. I don't know if people actually got to see it, but I did post it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Facebook Instagram? I mean, I personally think graffiti's more an Instagram thing than Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, I like Instagram for the graph. You know, and then I like the Facebook as a personal type of page.
Right.
But then again, you know, you're on Facebook, and I'm always seeing this shit, and then of course you start liking it and liking it and liking it, and then everybody else starts to follow and all of that. Forget the social media thing. Social media is just...
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's just a vehicle.
But you wound up doing the Angel Dust. Do you plan on doing any other tributes?
Well, we recently did a Flame TPA. We did one for him and a Knack. And then the other fellas did a... And Oz.
Mm-hmm. And Oz 156 crew.
Right.
Oz was DMS as well, wasn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, what was the other gentleman's name? The IBM. The other guy was another local kid. I can't think of the other name that was done that day.
What happened? You got a brain freeze?
Yeah, I got a
fucking
brain
freeze. Fucking paint. The fucking paint fucked up your...
Actually, it was S.E. and...
Eli.
Eli that did that piece.
You see that? I had him on my shout-out list. Look at that. They get plugged twice over here.
Oh, man, he'll come back to me.
Where the fuck are they? I haven't seen S.E. and Eli in a minute.
Well, speaking of that era, there's a fellow that nobody mentions. You know, this guy named Bionic. He had a little stunt, you know, and then he disappeared.
Are you talking about the one that was crushing the trains, Bionic?
Right, Bionic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
There's a story to that, you know. Another rider had a stash of cans. I won't get into that right now.
Why not? It sounds pretty good.
That's not my business. But
story's a story. Don't hold back now because then it ruins the whole thing. What happened?
I read about it on
his... Oh, okay. So this isn't a personal thing you know of?
I read it in an interview, but I recall from back then that when it went down, this guy went bananas. He wanted to find this guy. So it has it. I got caught motion tagging by DT Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes me in. He takes me to Jamaica, and he starts showing pictures of. Do you know Pro and Son? Do you know AD? He's going down the whole list, and we're like, we don't know who those guys are. So we wish we knew who those guys were, because then we could get up like them. But you know, meanwhile they're living right in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, well, I catch everybody, and he had a book of all the people he caught, and I saw he had Bionic in there. I said, you caught Bionic? He's like, yeah, and he starts to tell me the story. He says, he caught him in the 7 yard doing a piece. He saw him, and then Bionic ran out, got in a car, and drove off. And he followed. They got in their car and started driving. So Bionic winds up somewhere in College Point. Mm-hmm. You know, they're following. They see that he pulls over. He walks in to buy a pack of cigarettes, and Ferrari nabbed him right there as he's buying the cigarettes.
Hmm.
So I thought that was a wild story. Like, you know, to go from the 7 yard all the way to Whitestone and actually catch this guy.
That was his job, I guess.
Yeah,
no?
But that was wild. I guess that guy, I think after that, Bionic quit. I think he was an older guy. Actually, there was a show on Channel 7. I forgot. I think the name of it was Magnificent Something. Hmm. And there's actually a video of him climbing over the fence into the 7 yard, and he did the Bionic piece with the Rainbow Cloud. And there was a show where they said, "Look, we finally caught somebody doing live graffiti." So I thought that was...
So someone actually filmed them and put it up.
Yeah, this was back like 79. If you notice, there used to be a tree in the yard. He climbed over the tree and he just jumped in the yard. And he did the first train there.
Hmm. You know? That's an interesting story. That's definitely interesting. What's the outlook for the future as far as your painting? Do you plan on bombing, painting?
I thought about it. It crossed my mind a few times because permanent spaces were like...
Well, there's no such thing as permanent spaces in graffiti.
Not permanent. I mean permission.
Permission. Oh, okay.
Permission is an issue right now because there's hardly any space. And when you get there, there's like 50 guys there. So it's a turnoff. I mean, last year I went out and I did about maybe 60 pieces.
Hmm.
And... that was a lot of work, you know, to go out and plan. It's like a whole schedule, and then you know.
Me, I'm more spur of the moment. I mean, right. If someone invites me and I'm not working and I'm available, yeah, I like to paint. You know, an occasion bomb with my brother JRC. That's, you know, doors always open for that, and you know, anybody else that wants to go. I mean, you know, I'm always game.
Right. No, you know, last year
the paint is always going to be in the blood. You ain't getting rid of it. I know I'm not. Definitely not.
No, that goes without saying.
So you're a Corona native, and you wind up, you know, moving out.
Yeah, I left Corona in 1990. I wound up in Woodside, spent about 10 years there. At that time, I wasn't 90. I left 90. Actually, I came back in 92 because Steph was a younger brother of someone I used to hang with. And he came up to me and he said, "Hey, there's a movement going on. You got to come out. And we're going to, you know, we're going to bomb and we're going to do pieces in this thing called Pits." I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
"Oh, the Pits."
Right. So we went, the first place we went to was the Maze. Mm-hmm. On, what was that, by, off of Grand Avenue. So we went in, I rocked something. I was like, "Oh, all right." And he says, you know, so that summer we spent, you know, I spent the summer just going out doing Pits. I wound up on Kent Avenue by the Domino Sugar Plant. I did a few hits there. And, you know, we just kept traveling.
That actual building
pits.
Is coming down soon,
that's
supposedly.
That's what I heard, yeah.
They got
that was a sweet spot on Kennedy. You would go in there, park your car, and you had, you know.
But yeah, if you ever notice how big that building is, right. I mean, years ago, we actually used to go and plow snow there. Now,
wow.
The building was abandoned, but the property owner.
We used to go there so much that we found the people living on one of the second floors.
Oh, absolutely. That fucking place is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it's a sin that they're actually going to turn it into like some development type of shit. But that's just the way it goes. I mean, you lived in Corona way back in the day. You remember it was mostly houses. And you had your apartment buildings were basically on a big avenue. Yeah. Now they're knocking down houses and they're putting up a fucking mini building where there was a one-family house, two-family house.
Yeah, we lost that big building on 108th Street. Remember that? It was like a one-level factory and they built like a 13-story building there. That building had so many...
What, the one off of 37th Avenue?
It had the Johnny 1980 on the back.
Yeah, what was that, 108th and...
39th Avenue?
39th Avenue, yeah,
that
I remember
building
that.
Had some of the original Sun... one pieces that he used to do before he made his famous Superman S.
The whole thing with like the neighborhood, it's, you know, it's all about how big can you go. I mean, I'm still a Corona guy.
Yeah.
And you know,
actually,
it's time for me to pack it up, man. It is, because it's like you
did what you could do there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here my whole entire life. You know, I stay because, you know, I love Corona. But, you know, now with my kids, the older they get, you know, I want to get them out. You know, it's like you can't go anywhere, you know, without losing a parking spot. You come down the block and try to park, and it's like a half-hour ordeal before you actually find a parking spot.
Right.
I mean, if you have a garage, you know, I do, of course, that's great. But if you have a car on the street and you move it, you pretty much, you know,
it's
pretty
much
fucked.
Deal.
You know, and that's, yeah, that's basically.
Going back to
Sun
One, before I forget, probably 1976, I went out with my father to this, you know, he went to visit a friend. So I'm on 38th and 108th Street, and my dad runs in the store to get something.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this guy, you know, he's spray painting the wall, like with a silver can. I was like, "Oh, this guy's actually getting up." I was like, "Wow, I'm actually going to meet a rider," I thought. That's all right. So he's getting up. It's a big, burly guy. I see like a silver, you know, it's a silver fill-in. And then he starts outlining. And then I see it's, you know, it's Sun. It was Sun One doing a, you know. I don't know if you remember that store. It was like on 108 and 38th Avenue. It was a brick building. And there was like a silver song with like a green outline.
Yeah, right before Northern Boulevard.
No, this is further into Corona. It was like, this was like maybe
108th and 39th is right before Northern Boulevard.
I'm thinking about Roosevelt Avenue. All right, yeah, more or less. Yeah, so that was the first actually live piece that I seen someone actually produce, you know.
I actually ran into Sun, what was it? I don't know, maybe a year or two, maybe 2 years in Flushing. It was me and there's a couple of us painting a wall over there. It was Zeus was there, Zacto. Zacto was the one that got us the spot. Big shout out to Zacto ASK crew. I believe there was a couple of us painting anyway. And here's this guy walks up to me and he's like, "Yo, you Alski?" I'm like, "Yeah." He was like, I remember you from back in the day. So I'm looking at him now, you know, of course he's older, and, you know, I was like, you know, who is this guy? And we get to talking, and he's like, you know, I'm a pro, not son, I'm sorry.
Oh, pro.
Pro.
I have a story.
And pro and
pro,
son,
okay.
Kinged shit. You know, they had those top to bottoms on the seven and all that good shit, but that was actually a pretty cool fucking meet for me, you know. But yeah, Corona will always be my home, you know. Regardless, I could move anywhere. It's always Corona, but it's getting a little too overpopulated for my taste.
That's funny you brought up Pro, because I knew him as Joey.
Mm-hmm.
I thought his tag was Joey, and then it was Kid 17 in the Bronx that told me, no, that's actually Pro. That's Pro you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. All this time, you know, he was Pro, and I didn't even know. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's cool people. I gotta try to run into him one more time. I actually know the whereabouts of where he's working, and I definitely got to pay. I definitely have to pay a visit to that location, see if I could find him, because I would love to get him on the show. You know, back then I wasn't even thinking about it, but he was you know, another big influence, especially to the Queens writers, to the Corona kids. Anyway, you know, it's sad, like when you think about us growing up in the neighborhood, and you know, all the people that we lost, you know, during yesterday to today. And you know,
goes without saying.
Yeah, I mean, you never promised anything, you know, other than death. That's about the only thing you ever promised in life. But you know, as far as the graffiti thing goes, you know, the history, there's so much history out there, not only in Corona, but in every borough, period. I mean, I personally think New York City is the staple of graffiti. Other people claim whatever, but when it comes down to it, New York is, you know, the shit,
right,
to me.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sure you agree with that.
Right.
But what do you see for yourself in the future? You know, website, items for sale, anything?
I would like to get involved in some kind of can production, or
some type of what?
Producing a can, like a spray can.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't hear you. I got
myself,
headphones on,
yeah,
and
no,
I still didn't fucking hear you.
I kind of stepped back. Yeah, like maybe come out with a paint line, or get involved in selling paint, maybe getting a spot to actually promote, you know, the graffiti art, so they have a place to come and actually produce works. That's my...
sort of like 5 points type of thing?
Well, probably not as grand, but something most likely in the Queens area.
Well, that was nice while it lasted. I mean, it would be nice if there was some type of safe haven type of thing to meet up and paint and all of that good shit. Yeah, spray can line sounds good to me. I would assume there's a lot involved coming up with a spray can, like some type of formula. Because, you know, the paint industry and the graffiti game is one thing, and the spray paint on the shelf is another. You know, because
it takes
so
marketing, and you got to,
you know,
find a good factory. It's a lot of legwork.
What's your favorite can from today?
I like the 94s.
Mm-hmm.
I've used the Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Montana Black is my favorite to outline with. You know,
Montana Black is my all-time favorite.
Right, but the cans, wow, the cans today is like, you can't compare them to like the. The previous versions back in the day. I mean, now it's top of the line.
Yeah, well, it's you know, it's tailored for the graffiti era.
Right.
You know, the movement, as you say, would say the best thing to me, you know, back in the 80s and 90s was there wasn't all of this
extra stuff,
variety,
right,
so to speak. You know, you basically had, you know, Red Devil and Krylon and Rust-Oleum, and then you had all the other shit, you know, touching tone and whatever. But back then, my shit was fucking Krylon. But today,
Cherry Red.
Absolutely. Today we have shit. You got the Montana. You got the Evolve paint. You have shit. There's so many paints. I can't even think right now. But
that's why I kind of
Yeah, it's like...
So what have I used? I know Beltan 94 is an evil belt, yeah.
There's so many different paint companies out there, and not for nothing. They're pretty pricey. You know, you have also the Cobra paint. Cobra paint is pretty good. My favorite paint out of that Cobra collection is the red and the oranges. I use those on straight black walls, and it covered very nice. But, you know, hats off, you know, to me, blacks, Montana blacks.
You know? I like their color range, too.
They have pretty, a shitload of colors. Right. I mean, Beltan supposedly has 200 and change, you know. Will you ever see them in one store all together at once? I don't think so. But if you check out All the Right, they got a nice collection of Beltan. Of course, you know, he has a nice variety and Price is Right. I mean, pretty much $7 a can.
I ran into the Flame cans last summer. Those were pretty decent. The pastels I would stay away from, but the other colors, they're pretty good.
Who's that guy in Florida? Artisan?
Artisan.
Wasn't that... What was the name of the paint he had? I can't remember.
He had Dope, D-O-P-E, and he also had a few cans of his own, Artisan, as well.
Right, right. That's what I was... Yeah, it was the Artisan can. I remember Sloan had a couple of samples.
I used the silver. He had this nice silver with a Kid 17 Memorial tribute to him on that. Those cans are pretty good. I used them at Graffiti Universe end of last year.
Actually, we had spoken a while back. I was going to send him some truck books, and he was going to send some paint, but that never fell through. Maybe I should reach back out to him.
Absolutely.
You know, he's out in Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's out in Florida.
Well, I'm sure he's doing good. You know, so anybody out there that opens up a store with the graffiti apparel and paraphernalia, you know, good luck to all of you. And
the story is coming back to me, so I'm gonna. When you're done, I'll.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. The mic is yours, bro. Yeah. I'm just here bullshitting with you.
Oh, so here's the thing: when AD and the X-Men, when they used to bomb the layup, which used to run from 103rd all the way to Willis Point and over that bridge, which is the express lane, he used to hit this glass telephone booth mm-hmm. right there on 103rd, like just before. Not where the newsstand is. There was like a fruit store.
Yeah, 103rd and Roosevelt.
Right, and if that was hit, then you know that's the part of the layup they hit. So he would tag it out with the Marvy or what have you, dripping ink. So when that was hit, you know that they got busy, and there was fresh pieces running. At that time, AD used to write letters to DT like, Ferrari, you Chumley. You missed us. Catch us next time. He used to ride on the window of the train. So that I know that used to infuriate.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. I remember that was the game.
Like, we got up. Mm-hmm. We beat you. And then there was another layup that rang from a junction past 90th Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was that one ran deep. I was supposed to meet it was Kink, Spank, BR. I think Brim went out that night. I think Sir was in the layup that night. And I just missed
now the brim you're talking about is a Queens brim. It's not Brim OTB.
No, brim
just to clarify
boys.
It.
Exactly. This was they came out at the same time, and that's what it was. You know,
mm-hmm.
There was probably two of every name.
Brim still doing his thing, if I'm not mistaken.
In the Bronx, absolutely.
You know, and then the Bronx. I don't think graffiti. If graffiti dies everywhere else, I think the Bronx will still be standing up when it comes to the graffiti. You know, that's just my personal say in it, but I just wanted to clear that up. Guy,
I'm
sorry.
So that night they went past Junction Boulevard. They hit the layup in that section. They got raided. But I know.
Oh, knock, knock.
Sloan's in the house.
You're supposed to say who's there. Shout out to Sloan, always in the house.
I met Sloan in 83. I was like this crazy-ass toy when I met Sloan.
Sloan was a toy, too. Nah.
He was doing his thing.
Listen, I say it all the time, not because he's my boy or anything like that, but I think his fucking SL is one of the best throwies out there. And other than Hayes, there's a lot of people that have a dope fucking throwie, but I always gave it to Sloan.
Absolutely.
Always.
Finish your story.
Uh-oh, now you're getting orders from Sloan. Finish your story.
Yeah, so I just missed them. They went to the layup. They got raided. And the white trains were just freshly painted, and they just they rocked the whole. I think it was the side facing the Flushing side, the one mm-hmm. that ran towards
Flushing
Main Street. They ragged that whole side. It was brown cans and black, and then they came back and they said, "Oh, we got raided and this and that." And I remember this guy Kink, K-I-N-K. He was K-O-D-T-S-K.
And, now, K.O.D. was also Angel Dust's crew.
Kingdom of Doom, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, now, just putting it out there for people that don't know.
So, damn, you know, I felt like shit because I missed that bombing campaign, you know? Like,
well, listen, back then, I mean, we basically did our own campaign, and I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I gotta say, I really didn't care much. You know, when I got into the game, yeah, I had my influences and people that I thought were the shit. You know, basically who you mentioned as well, you know, Flame, Fuzz, Dondi, and, you know, Angel Dust and all these people. But when I just started going on my shit, you know, I really didn't focus. You know, did I think 20, 30 years later, I'd be doing a show and, you know, doing shit here and there as well? No, I didn't think I would. I didn't think I would be talking about graffiti. I mean, back then, the game was totally different. The war was different. The cause was different. Today, it's a little bit of everything and a little bit of the social media and a little bit of the permission spots and who's trying to capitalize on sales and right. all of that good shit. But back then,
you know,
that's what history has. Sloan's got to jump in. That's why the history is good. Now, what the hell did you just do?
I hate social media, dude.
No, you can't be pulling shit, bro. You just like blasted the fucking microphone. Just killed people. Go ahead.
I hate social media.
You got to get a little closer since you don't have a headphone. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, we should just set up a fucking microphone for you. Oh, then do
I,
it.
You know, I hate social media because it makes a all right artist an all star. So yeah. You don't have to like really do anything. You know, you don't have to do much.
Say, look, now he's not even talking into the fucking thing. Listen, before you start talking shit, get your microphone, set the fucking thing up, shut the fuck up for 2 minutes. Come on, Brand, finish talking your shit. Get the cable, get the stand, get the headphones. You know what to fucking do. Pretty soon, Sloan's going to take over the reign. I'm going to fucking have him fill in when I could be doing other shit. Come on, Sloan. Come on. You got it there. See, that's one. The cable is right there.
This is a union job.
The union job. Well, you ain't getting paid by me, motherfucker, because I ain't no fucking union president. I may be union, but no president.
Right.
All right. Hold on. Just... Excuse the interruption, people. I apologize because we're over here. We're over
right
here.
Now.
We gotta plug Sloan in because you know.
Thank you for your fuck. Thank
Sloan.
You
Sloan is just patience. A fucking staple. I'm gonna start claiming him on my fucking taxes too. How you like that one?
You gotta cut me half. I'm gonna have your baby.
Fuck you in half. Right away. 50%.
Right.
How
absolutely.
What the fuck is wrong with you, brother? All right. Hold on. We're almost complete with the plug in of the Sloanster. All right, Sloan TPA in the building.
Brad, what's up?
What's going on, Sloan?
Okay, get on the mic. Let me get a sound check. Well, you got to talk first, bro.
Yo.
There you go.
Yo.
You're fucking like blowing like you're a fucking bird or something. All right, get close. You know the routine.
I hate social media because it
he hates
makes...
social media, but that motherfucker's a bitch on Instagram.
Nah.
No, come on. You're a fucking Insta lurker. You fucking prick.
Admit
I
don't it. Lurk, yo.
Nah.
I don't lurk.
Yeah, get a little closer. Yo, lower your chair. There we go. This is Alski's Podcast 101, How to Use a Microphone. Motherfucker been on the mic just as much as I have.
This shit doesn't drop down.
Before we get into like the era, tell Brand the story about Opie and Anthony. And the listeners, I'm sure they would love to hear. I just blew up your spot. You want to fucking get on my fucking show, bitch? Now you're going to talk, motherfucker. Yo, go ahead, tell them. If anybody out there listened to Opie and Anthony, Sloan has a story for you. And if you never listened or heard of Opie and Anthony, Sloan's still going to tell you the fucking story. Yeah, I like this story, Brandon. You got to hear this shit.
I was working for the state at that time. And was in the basement of an undisclosed location.
Mm.
And I just turned it on. 102.7, and I heard these two white boys and shit just bullshitting on their fucking radio.
Right away, white boys.
Yeah, they were. They were okay. From Boston. They were from Boston, as a matter of fact. And okay, then, okay. They were talking
this
about
this is very
some,
interesting. You got and they definitely got to listen to this.
They were talking about some beer and how, you know, something that had to do with the advertising. And I said, oh, you would only get that sort of advertising, and the advertising was like sexually explicit. You had a fucking a lion humping a fucking lioness. Well, thank God they were of the same species. But
get to the Opie and Anthony story. Fuck the beer.
You know, and I told him, I said, yo, you wouldn't get this type of advertising in a predominantly white, well class, you know, neighborhood. You know what I mean? You only see this shit on a fucking
forget about the story. Tell us how you and Opie and Anthony.
I'm trying to be socially conscious, Oscar. You're fucking me up here.
The fucking clock is ticking. Fuck you. Tell me. I want to hear it.
So then I went in.
Brad just fucking tuned out. He's like, fuck this motherfucker.
No, I'm listening.
Stop lying.
So then I faxed him. I went in with a beer the next day to the studio. And after that, it was history. I was with, you know, I more or less knew I was a character on the show, or I would say like a pseudo celebrity.
Sort of like what you do here. You walk in and talk shit.
Yeah.
Now, what was your name?
I'm good at that. I should start getting paid for that fucking shit.
100% on that.
Fuck.
Now,
that.
What name?
What union is this?
What name did you go by? It's the OTC union, and you're not hired.
Old Dirty, because. The day I faxed him, and
true story.
The day I faxed him the comment, Old Dirty Bastard had passed. So I, you know, I didn't know what name to put. Of course, I'm not gonna fucking put Sloan.
Dumb. You should have.
Well, I should have, but fuck it.
You didn't.
I put Old Dirty in memory of Old Dirty.
Wow.
And that's how they knew me by.
Okay. Now
it was fun.
Put that back on the fucking shelf. Thank you, Sloan. You know I gotta fuck with you. All right, let's get back into the graffiti thing. So you two met back in the 80s.
Briefly. And then I would, you know, we would see each other around. You know, I was in the Corona, and he would come
venture
down to
in
me.
And out.
Yeah. So
how was he back then as a person when you met him? Was he a cool cat? Was he you know?
Yeah, he had a goal. You know.
He had a goal. I think he reached his goal.
He wanted a bomb, and that's exactly what he did.
Well, he killed shit. The Floater Man.
I met him in 83.
Yeah, not for nothing. That's a good fucking stage name for you, the Floater.
Floater Man.
You float into shows, you get on, you talk shit, you good
wish
to
I had
go.
A fucking,
an Opie and Anthony story.
And yeah, when I
the
ran.
Yowski show history. We got magic carpet.
I ran into Sloan because we had a house fire in Corona, and I wound up in the Hawaiian building.
You think Sloan set the fire?
Nah, you crazy? Just, that was the block.
He used to hang out over there by the Hawaiian building. I just happened to move there that time. That's when that Silent City piece was there. You remember that? By Steve 63?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big ups to the... I forgot,
yeah,
I forgot
somebody just posted
hashtag.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. He comes out with, you know... And it's funny because, you know, I thought that the graffiti... From our hood was like gone. There was nobody that took a flick of it. But this guy came through with like three very good fucking pictures from the hood.
Well, not for nothing, but Bran, you post a lot of shit on Facebook, you know, like you were saying earlier. Where do you get these pictures from? Are they personal pictures or are they pictures taken from other people?
From Corona? Or the Corona pictures are mine.
In general, you post a lot of train pictures as well.
Those I think I got off a website.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering right, where
the
fuck you got this collection.
Those are mine. Like absolutely. The Amos, the Dondi.
The who?
Sheer
Amos?
Pieces. Yeah.
Oh, you don't know the story about Amos, do you?
No, I guess you're going to have to enlighten me.
Oh, yeah. It's a very good story. 1980. No, this was actually 1981. We're in school, IS-61. We're watching a movie on slavery. And one of the characters in the movie, his name was Amos. And you know me, I mean, graffiti mentality. I have a piece of paper and I'm doing throwies and I start rocking an Amos. And fucking, I can't say his real name.
Right, he saw it.
He saw it and he goes to me, yo, what you doing with that? He goes, I like that. I wanna start writing graffiti. I laughed at him. I said, well, you know what? The name fits. You know, take it. Fuck it. This fucking kid, yo, he killed the number line, I think. Anyway, that's my personal opinion. And he actually did a lot of destruction. I spoke to him a few months ago. I'm trying to get him out to paint, but he's not having it at all.
And let me tell you that Amos...
And that's a Left Rack City brother right there.
Amos had his own unique piecing style, dude.
He was far beyond his time. He was ahead of his time, dude. I put him in the Dondi Zephyr category.
The man had skills.
We did a piece on 61. I just did a simple blockbuster shit to be out, right? It was a corner spot, hot. This motherfucker does a dope-ass fucking burner style type of shit.
The turquoise piece.
Yes, the turquoise one.
Yeah.
With the fucking character.
With the face, yeah.
Dude, I was standing right next to him. My shit probably got buffed right away. His shit ran for a minute.
Yeah.
But, yo.
Everybody used to do 61.
I got that on one film. I think I got that picture.
Dude, you did 61, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a big fucking deal and shit.
It's all right. I'm going to be calling fucking Amos here just to show you I ain't talking shit. Watch, I'm going to go to my contacts right now.
Oh, don't fucking start catching feelings, you fuck.
No. What are you kidding me? I want to get this motherfucker back out. At least a permission wall just to fucking get the rust out.
Remember, kids, no face, no case.
Nah, ain't no face. Hey, look. Yeah, I know you could read, bro. What do you see up there? Amos, see?
Your Honor.
Yeah, you got it right there.
Yep.
It says.
I'm going to go back to Corona because I don't think anyone has talked about this, but I want to go back and coin... You know how DTC came. You mentioned OTC, and then we had a DTC.
Yeah. Bring it. Go ahead.
84, I believe that's when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
DTC was a spin-off.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that because OTC came out in 1980. There was always a debate if it was OTC first or DTC.
I'm getting
first.
A detail sheet from Sloan here. I don't know what's going on.
Fax machine.
I got stories.
Okay, I'm gonna put it from
little
off.
They were fucking goons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those kids are goons. All
right, let the fucking guy tell his story.
You know what's funny? When the internet first came out, you know, I started messing around, surfing, and this guy posted something about Halloween, and he's talking about Corona. He says, "Ah." He said, Halloween was crazy. I said, I was in Corona one night.
37th Avenue was crazy.
He said,
I got stories about 37.
He said, we were trick-or-treating, and we turned this corner behind the Plaza Theater, and there was like 100 guys back there. They were shouting, DTC, DTC. And this guy was
throwing
like,
eggs,
oh,
shaving
man.
Cream.
I remember that night.
That was fun. That was real fun.
You know what I used to do, bro? Talking about 37th Avenue. I used to drive down there. Me and New, we used to have a bread truck. And we used to fucking... I used to drive the step van. It was a step van. You know, with the swinging doors?
Yeah.
And fucking New used to pop the doors open, and we used to deliver bagels. Fucking New used to fucking launch the bagels and shit. Halloween, we used to do the eggs. 4th of July, we used to do the fucking blockbusters.
Meanwhile, that
was DTC land back then. You know what I'm saying? It was funny shit. We used to have so much fucking fun. But now you do something like that, you get shot. There's no innocent fun like throwing fucking eggs and shit, you know. I mean, we used to drive up Park Avenue.
The
bums used to sleep in the tunnel on Park Avenue uptown, and we used to drop blockbusters in there. One time, we threw a blockbuster in there, and New was like, "Oh shit, yo, there was someone sleeping in there." I was like, "You sure you ain't killed the motherfucker?" So we stop at the light. And you see this fucking guy running out, smoke coming out of his hair and
shit.
Yeah, we used to do crazy shit. You remember the precinct that used to be by the Willie B?
Yeah.
Was it the Willie? Yeah, the Willie B or the Manhattan Bridge. One of the bridges. We used to drive over, right at the foot on the Manhattan side. We used to stop. New used to light up a couple of blockbusters, throw them right over towards the precinct, and dude, we used to laugh, bro, and just drive away. You do that shit now, you fucking...
Probably get shot.
Shot, arrested, fucking
remember
video
the,
and all of that
the,
shit.
The telephone, the phones were like busted open with the M80s back then.
Yeah. Who remembers the PIN number, the badge number? We used to make phone calls. We used to make up a badge number. We used to call the operator, say, badge number, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We used to fucking make free phone calls all fucking night.
There was another trick with a paperclip that you stuck it in the fucking where the lock
in the,
is
in the middle of the phone,
and then you put it in the middle so that
you
it
would
touches
short
the
something out
yeah.
And it would you could make a call.
Yo, that lies. Shit worked for me a lot of times.
One,
dude,
one time I was hitting the thing to hang up the phone, took the phone off, and the, you know, that piece would pop up. I don't even know what the fuck it's called, and we used to smack that shit. Like,
quarters used to come
fucking
out, right?
Quarters used to come flying out, bro. Yo, it was like fucking Atlantic City. We used to, whatever we could to get shit, we did it. We did
but
it.
But DTC, not, DTC not. Was,
oh,
was
yeah,
a gang squad.
Get back to DTC. Fucking Sloan, you're poisoning the whole fucking
interview. I used to hang out by PS19 a lot. 41st, PS19. We used to play baseball on the front part of the PS19. That's where they used to hang out.
Well, they used to have the handball courts.
Right. So I'm seeing summer of 84, I'm seeing Slam DDR. And then I just had met Rank and EK, and I'm trying to find out, who is this Slam DDR guy? So when I finally meet him, he said, you know, I asked him, what's DDR? What is that? He said, oh, that's Death Defying Rockers. He said, but that's, you know,
the breaking part.
That crew is done. He says, we'll come out with a new crew in the fall. And he says, you know, we'll talk about that later. So I was like, all right. So I brought him a black book. He did some hits. And then I went down to his crew, which was down on the dead end of 100th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the original guys there was like JS, Slam, this guy named ODD, Odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's in Florida.
All goons, all
yeah.
of them. Oh, my
this
God.
Other guy, I think Robski.
Yes, CD. I remember Robski.
Yeah, so those are cello. Those are like, I'm talking about the original guys when they started the DTC movement up at that time. It was school year fall of 84.
Shout out to cello, 37th Ave, Rickman, 37th Ave.
So one day we're hanging out on the Ave, and this guy, you know, one of the supers, he throws out all these cans, you know. They're like, some of them are full, some of them are half empty. They were like silvers, red, blue, and they had that funny fan spray.
Yeah, I didn't like those cans. I know what you're talking about.
And then maybe there was one or two regular cans. So he threw them out, and I said, yo, there's cans there. And then we picked them up. There was like maybe 12 cans. And then, you know, Slam says, yo, let's go for a ride. We're going to take the 7-line, and we're going to find a rooftop to hit. So we go all the way out, like all the way down to 33rd and Rawson, and we can't find nothing. And then on the other side, I see the Aviation High School handball court. I said, oh, look at that big saint. I said, that's where we're going to do the piece. So we go over there. We get to the yard, you know, where the handball court is. We
mm-hmm.
see the
schoolyard.
The schoolyard. We hear the janitors inside the building. They got the vacuum cleaners going. But, you know, you can't get in the freaking place. It's all locked up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to climb. If you see the fence,
schoolyard,
we
that
have
fucking
to
fence was fucking big, dude. That
dude,
shit was that shit
climb.
Was tall,
we had
dude.
To climb that sucker. It was me, Neem, Ma, and Slam. We climbed the fence. We
I remember
inside.
Ma.
And then when you got to the edge, you had to jump down. So we're in the yard. We run up to the wall. I do an outline, and they start filling it in. So we did a DTC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to understand, this was like in...
84?
Yeah, but this was TA-7 territory. We did mm-hmm. a piece over there. So, we, you know, that caught a lot of back waves. So we
Frank
did the piece.
TA-7, right?
Yeah, so we did the piece. We did that piece like in less than 10 minutes. It was quick, blind. We were out. But then I noticed that the T, I aimed it the wrong way. So it looked like a J from a distance. But fuck it. I mean, I took the picture. It ran for a few, and then it got, you know... It got this, but then
mm-hmm.
that caused a lot of repercussion. From that, it was like a windfall event that happened in Corona based on that event.
And so you're basically one of the original DTC members.
I was there when it started. I didn't stay with them, but I was, you know, I was there during that the beginning movement.
Okay.
And then that spun off into DTC became, I believe, 3CF.
Yeah, 3CF.
Yep. It was a joint union.
Shout out to Big Nails. I see you.
Stop screaming, bro. You're going to blow up the fucking speakers. You're going to blow up somebody's car stereo.
So you what? You got some DTC stories?
Yeah, not too many
from,
that could be legally said.
USA. We were at Club USA one night, and Brooklyn was in the house. I forgot. I think Ramel Z was the DJ that night. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
There was a lot of pushing going on. Brooklyn pushed against us, and we pushed right back. And then it spilled outside.
That place always had fucking right. brawls.
I loved it. USA?
The last thing I remember was...
We were in the middle of all them shits.
We're brawling outside. IMS is there. He takes out a knife. He's shanking somebody.
IMS. How many tags did he have?
You remember IMS?
Oh, my God.
Fucking IMS. He used to do his thing.
Shout out to my Corona.
So the corner, you know, there's like a melee going on in the middle of the block there. At the corner of my eye, I see this guy standing with a garbage can, and he just throws it into the crowd. I was like, what the fuck? It was Cello. He picked up one of those street garbage cans, and he just throws it. And it just dispersed the crowd, and then the cops came, and then we had to take off and start running.
Had a dip.
It was one of those wild nights.
The Queens thing.
Yeah. Another time I did a few rooftops with Skell, so we were scoping out.
That's another kid that did damage too. Yeah,
fucking Skell, man. I remember him and Coase, because Coase, She used to, his sister.
Coase, yeah. How can I forget Coase?
Coase, my
original
dude,
member
what?
DTC right there. Word up.
Coase's sister was friends with my sister, and they all used to come to the house. And I remember Coase and Skell coming up to the crib, yo. I remember Coase and Skell coming up to the crib.
Yeah, so me,
like
it's...
That fucking, yo, gave him throw-ups. This is, yo, we want to start bombing, blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you, they started getting up.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah, I told him. I told him the deal.
He was Kel 56
for a
minute.
Yeah, Kel 56.
And then he switched to Skell. And they said, what are you going to do? You change your tag. He said, I'm just going to put an S in front of all the tags.
No, he had to. I told him he had to.
Oh, boy, you're the mayor all of a sudden.
I was the fucking governor.
The governor?
Yeah, so
fucking
me and Skell,
Mike Hogg,
we're trying to scope a rooftop out. We go like to... Maybe 82nd, we start coming back. On 90th Street, was it 90th? No, we got on 82nd, and then JB gets in the train. And he sees us, we're talking. And then we're passing 90th Street. He's talking to us, and we pass Junction. And we're like in front of PS19. He's like, oh, fuck, I wanted to get off on Junction. And he pulls the emergency call right there. And he just jumps out the train and walks the tracks back to Junction. And we're like...
Could have went to 103rd and fucking went back.
Yeah, but that was, you know.
Yeah, all right. But back then, it was a little crazy.
Shout out to Val DTC.
That's funny. I had nothing but good stories. Yeah. So before we wrap this up, what else we got? What's the shout outs? What's up for next week? Where we going? What we hitting?
Next week, we were going to have a very special guest. Should I?
No, never announce who's
never
next.
Never announce, right?
Never announce.
Everybody got to stay tuned for next week's show.
You got to stay tuned. Period. Every fucking week is a good show. End of the story.
Yeah.
But
man.
Yes, we have a out of the ordinary guest, and of course, you know, Sloan's people. So, got to give Sloan the props, and of course, he's gonna get on the mic and interrupt as usual.
Anything to make the show a continued success.
Oh, thank you.
We got a memorial coming up at the end of June.
There you go.
June 26th, a Sunday. We're going to do the Cool AD 30-year anniversary in remembrance of his life.
What day does that land on? You're throwing numbers. When are you doing it?
June 26th is a Sunday.
June 26th. Yeah. And you're doing it morning, afternoon, night?
We'll probably start about 10 a.m.
All right. Well, like I said, me, if I'm off, I'll be there.
Yeah, so we're going to throw up a Cool AD by Cello. I'm going to do a Brim 007 CC Boys because we missed it last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Biz from The Outsiders doing a Kane memorial because he's probably the closest to his kind of style from that time period.
Yeah, Biz is definitely one of a kind with the letter funk.
Right.
My opinion. Big shout out to Biz.
Absolutely.
Outsiders.
All those are Clark, TN. Who else? Jeez, man, there were so many. What people, you know, people won't give us our props right there.
Yeah, right,
there, but
you good?
Man, shut up, man. I'm trying to put my words.
You got like fucking 30 seconds before I wrap this shit up.
Yo, chill the fuck out.
Just stop hogging the fucking time.
Fucking a lot of influential writers either came through or were from this location right here, Queens.
Yeah.
Elmhurst, Corona. Well,
Jackson Heights, Heights, that's Woodside,
Sunnyside, Long Island City, Flushing.
Queens.
I'm going to say something real quick. One of the first
TMR
pieces
boys.
At 5 points was the Nike Adidas. You know, and I'm not sure if that was for a commercial, but that lasted.
Do you
a
got
long
pictures
time.
Of that shit?
From a distance.
Nah.
It's not right there.
I tried
there.
To get pictures, bro. No,
I don't know
fucking
people, but that
good,
was,
man.
That has to be the that was the first piece on that building ever.
That was yeah. that was Sir
81.
That was Sir and
Listen,
Lust.
You know what I gotta say? When 5 points was getting ready to go down, a lot of people hit it when it got whitewashed. But I got a shout out to my brother Just WF Crew. That shit stood out like a fucking sore thumb. Anyway, off the topic, but yeah, big shout out to my brother Just.
Just. When are we gonna pay, my dude? Let me know.
Spain Crush Proof, man. I forgot we mentioned him.
No doubt. Yeah, we mentioned him. You can mention him all you want, bro.
Spain Mice.
There we go. Let's get the shout outs in because we're gonna get ready to wrap up the Alski Show. Big shout out to everybody out there. Go ahead, Sloan, Brand, take it away. Get your shout outs in. Of course, another great episode, another story told. Go on, boys.
Absolutely. When I
take it out,
we crossed over to the Bronx, Brooklyn. Shout out to Ree, MTA, Crane. Who we missing?
You're never Bond missing
five.
Anybody. You forget people. Go ahead. Keep going.
J-Lo.
Keep going.
My boy Beiser and Glock out in the Bronx.
Keep going.
Doing their thing.
Ah, Beiser. That's the brother right there.
Bro.
Yo, who?
Mikey Glock.
Key and Bids out there in the Bronx.
Yo, big ups to my CYA cats.
Oh, CYA.
Corona Queens.
Crazy young artists.
Yeah, yeah. Who else? Who else? Daughter Chia, of course. And my family. OTC crew.
OTC. 100. All day.
TPA.
Artisan, do your thing, brother.
Everybody out there.
Yo, what's up with Artisan?
He's living.
We all living. Once again, thank you. Tune in each and every Sunday right here. The Alski Show at All The Right. Don't forget.
Shout out to Min, RTW.
Street Art Expo, May 22nd at the Elks Lodge, Queens Boulevard. And we out like a trout, bitches.
Trout.